So we continue our study of families from a book of Ephesians. And this morning, the movie clips are brought to you by a friendly Walt Disney. Now, we're moving through chapter 6 this morning, and here's the passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Now, this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now, this sounds easy enough, right? Of course, the end. We can go home. When I was growing up as a young parent, I remember reading this and said, I was excited. As my kids are growing up, okay, I'll do it right. Right? I'll learn how to communicate, especially children are growing up to be teenage years. And I hear all sorts of, you know, problems from our friends. I say, no problem. I got it down. So it looks like this.
Sure you can. There, that's my queen. Right, here we go. I don't want to get married. I want to stay single and let my hair flow in the wind as I ride through the glen, firing arrows into the sunset.
Merida, all this work, all the time spent preparing you, schooling you, giving you everything we never had, I ask you, what do you expect us to do?
Call off the gathering!
Would that kill them? You're the queen. You could just tell the lords the princess is not ready for this. In fact, she might not ever be ready for this. So that's that. Good day to you. We'll expect your declarations of war in the morning.
I understand. This must all seem unfair. Even I had reservations when I faced betrothal. Yeah. But we can't just run away from who we are.
I don't want my life to be over. I want my freedom.
But are you willing to pay the price your freedom will cost?
I'm not doing any of this to hurt you.
If you could just try to see what I do out of love.
But it's my life. It's... I'm just not ready.
I think you'd see. If you could just...
I think I could make you understand if you would just...
Listen.
Listen. I swear, Angus, this isn't going to happen. Not if I've any say in it.
Yeah, just listen. Right? I have my side of the story. I have my side of the story. The children will say that. Parents will say that. Now, you may be old enough that your children are grown up, or you may have aging parents, but still the same, right? You have a belly button, right? That means that you are a child. Get it? Thank you for laughing. It's still early in the morning. But it doesn't usually end well. Look what happens here.
You listen to me.
Oh, this is so unfair.
Unfair?
You're never there for me. This whole marriage is what you want. Do you ever bother to ask what I want? No. You walk around telling me what to do, what not to do, trying to make me be like you. Well, I'm not going to be like you.
Oh, you're acting like a child.
And you're a beast. That's what you are!
Merida!
I'll never be like
you! No, stop that!
I'd rather die than be like you!
Merida, you are a princess. I expect you to act like one.
Intense, isn't it? Yeah. Even just this week... should I say, I had an incident at home as a father with one of my children. And it's amazing how I thought I was prepared, especially last week's Love and War. and knowing where I was spiritually and emotionally, I was ready. I thought I was prepared for the week. And it was Monday, I lost it, just like this movie. And where did that come from? You see, we're in the larger story than just my perspective and my kids' perspective, my parents' perspective. We approached it like this movie where, okay, if just you listen to me, or if I just tell my side, it would work out. No, because there is the enemy. There is more. There is a bigger story that we're a part of. And the family, children-parent relationship is no exception. We're placed in the larger story. And then we need to understand that in order for us to not only survive, but to thrive. And that's where God has given us this passage. By the way, the passage we're studying, chapter 6, is within the context of a larger story, as I mentioned. And then that starts in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Look at what it says in chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then chapter 5, Paul talks it again, says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What he is saying is that, look, this is who you are. You are beloved children. You have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have been given a new beginning. Jesus dwells in you. All your sins are forgiven. There's no more condemnation for you who are in Christ. You are new. Your old is gone. You have been given a new destiny, new mission, new life, new hope, new love. Therefore, in that new self, in that new identity, live that out. That's what it's saying in chapter 4 and chapter 5. In chapter 6, this relationship that we have been going through, relationship between husband and wife, relationship between children and parents, are taking place within that context of, therefore, because you have been already given everything pertaining to life and godliness, because every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies has been granted to you in Jesus Christ and he dwells in you. You have been completely united, inseparable from Christ. You're forever united with Christ. Christ dwells in you. You have his holiness. You have his righteousness. Your new self is completely in harmony with the Lord. That's who you are. And that's where you can walk from. And that's where you can live out of. And therefore, live. And therefore, bring that same Lord into your relationship between parent and children. Now again, I don't know where you are in your life, but I'm sure you have parents, could be young, old, or you may have kids, young and old. And so today, this passage, no matter where you are in life, applies to you. You may be thinking about your own children, or you may be thinking about your parent. So with that, this passage, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The interesting thing is this. This was written 2,000 years ago, right? In the time of Greco-Roman world and the Jewish, ancient Jewish culture. It's amazing that Paul even mentions and addresses to children in the first place. Right? think about it. Back then, children were not particularly valued. Yes, valued for the future when they grow up to be able to help at home and to be able to pass on the name and the inheritance and so forth and so on. And in that sense, children were valued. But children as such were not in high esteem. Not like our culture. They didn't idolize young people, especially children. And so for Paul even just to mention, as if to addressing directly to the young people. And it's fair to say that when they talk about children here, we're talking about anywhere between 4 and 14, 16, somewhere around there. So all the way up to maybe high school. And Paul, or God, through Paul, directly addresses to them. Showing that, yes, in the sight of God, children matter. Remember how Jesus got indignant? In fact, interesting, in the Gospel of the Gospels, I believe that's the only time that it's recorded that Jesus was indignant. He was mad. For what? For disciples kind of keeping the children at bay, away from the Lord himself. See, in the sight of God, children matter. God truly loves children. They really are precious in his sight. And so here, God, through Paul, addresses directly to children, saying, obey your parents in the Lord. The word obey really means to listen, to hearken, to listen to a command. It's interesting, this is slightly different from the way Ephesians talks about husband and wife, and especially to wife. It says, you know, submit to the husband, right? That's a slightly different word. That means to bring yourself under. To submit is to bring yourself under authority. Here, this word has the same feeling, but slightly different in the sense that I tell you what to do, and then you just do it. Amen to the parents, right? This is what I tell you, so you do it. But that's what it says. Don't blame me. Don't shoot the messenger, children. I'm just telling you what God says. It's an action. Yeah, you listen, but that means that you are to follow that instruction. That's why here it says in Proverbs 1:8-9, hear, listen, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And again in Proverbs 13:1, a wise son hears, listens, and obeys his father's instruction. Even Jesus, when he was young, he really obeyed, listened, and submitted to his earthly parents. Now, remember, Jesus was sinless. And even in this story, in one sense, parents were in the wrong, right? Mary and Joseph came, and then Mary said to Jesus, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Of course, it's a right response as parents, right? 12-year-old gone for the last 3 days, 4 days in the huge town of Jerusalem. It's like missing your kid in Seattle for 5 days. What are you going to do? You would be panicked. But look what Jesus says. But he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. So here's a great lesson for young ones. with regard to parental authority, even Jesus, the perfect one. And I guarantee 9 out of 10 times, he was right. If not 10 times, it's 10 out of 10 times, right? Yeah, Jesus was always right, even as a child. Yes, of course, he had to learn, but he never sinned. And yet he was willing to submit himself to the authority of his earthly parent. Children, obey. So listen and do what your parent says, but in the Lord, in the Lord. And so that means that this probably applies to older children who understand their relationship with God, that their obedience to their parents need to be in light of the Lord. That they're looking at, children are looking at the Lord and say, okay, I belong to Jesus, and therefore I must obey my parents. And as children grow older, I think the Lord gives them wisdom. Because I understand in some family situations, some parents are unreasonable. Some parents are, in fact, could be abusive. And you are growing up in that situation and you come to know Christ and you realize this doesn't feel right. I'm supposed to obey my parents, but what they're doing to me doesn't feel right. The Lord will give you the wisdom. See, that's why here it says you obey your parents in the Lord. You have the Lord in mind. You have Jesus in view. And also, this gives us the strength to obey parents when we don't feel like it, or when we feel like, you know, I don't know if they really understand my situation. But that's when you say, but Lord, you understand my situation. You have the power. And so I trust you. And trusting you, I'm going to submit myself to my parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Now, it's an interesting word. The right actually means righteous. That means righteous. So in other words, here, you're saying God is saying that when you obey the parents in the name of the Lord, in other words, sometimes you may have to say, okay, Lord, because you put my parents over me, so I'm going to obey them. When you do that, you're considered righteous. Imagine, it's like this. When you obey your parents, something happens literally in the heavenlies. Something just shifts in the heavenly places and makes something right. And that's how spiritual realm works. We may not see it. You may not feel it when you actually submit to your parents. And yet that's when something changes, something shifts in the heavenlies. That's what they're talking about. This is righteousness. Now, moving on to the second part, honor your father and mother. Now, obey has to do with action. Honor has to do with attitude. Now, obey combined with honor brings that relationship closer and tighter and stronger. But obey without honor destroys it. Let me say that again. Obey and honor going together, obedience will bring strength and the intimacy to that relationship. But obedience without honor will destroy that relationship. Because your heart is not in it. And you may have experienced that, if not in a parental relationship, just even in a friendship. They may be doing what you ask them to do, but you can feel that their heart is not in it, right? Would that strengthen your relationship with that person? Absolutely not. If anything, it erodes it. Obedience without honor or respect will destroy the relationship. And the honor is, so the heart is so important, and that's why in Deuteronomy it says, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. It's a very strong word. See, God realizes the significance and the seriousness of our heart be in it when we obey our authority, when we submit to our parents. So much so that if your heart is not in it, it's a curse. It destroys the relationships. And in fact, let me say one thing. If you don't know practically, if you don't learn how to respect your parents when you're young, you will grow up, and in society, you will never know how to respect any other individual. This family is not part of Adventure Church, and none of you knows them, so don't worry. But I know a family where they have children who don't respect their parents. They talk back to them, and they just don't listen. And already in school, they get in trouble. Why? Because they never learned to respect their parents, so they don't know how to respect any other human being. And that's why prisons are filled with men and women who never had their, especially dads, right? You know the statistics, or you have heard about that. And one practical reason was because without dads, these people never learn to respect. And so growing up and as an adult, they have no respect for laws. They have no respect for others. So God was serious when he said to honor your parents. And then even Jesus respected and honored his mother when he was approached by her at a wedding at Cana. You know the story. Jesus initially said, hey, this is not my time. You got it wrong, mother. And yet, he nonetheless provided wine. Jesus honored his mother. And then again, at the end of his life, as he hung on the cross, he looked at John and he looked at Mary and say, Mary, go with John. John, I want you to take care of my mother. What a way to honor. So how do we honor parents? As we look at scriptures, I want to just show you just three to start with. By words, speak words of life. Speak words of life. Now, parents who have young children, how do they talk to you? Again, I noticed that this particular family that I know who is not part of our church family, the parents would allow children to really talk back and sometimes unkind words. And parents don't correct them. You see, the children are just learning to speak words of death. Randy often talks about that, right? We can either speak words of life or we can speak words of death. And as children, we can also speak words of life. And I felt kind of convicted because, to be honest, sometimes dealing with my mother in Japan, as well as my mother-in-law. As they age, and then sometimes, you know, they make mistakes, and my words are not always words that are giving life. I'm not honoring them the way I should. So words of words and speak words of life. By way, and that means just live wisely. Proverbs have several passages where it says wise son and wise daughter really brings delight and brings honor to their parents. So your very life, how you live, matter to your parents, and the way you live can truly honor them. 3 John says basically, this was speaking about spiritual children, but it says there's no greater joy than to see children walking in the Lord, right? So how you live and live wisely makes a statement and honors your parents. And lastly, by works. Now, Matthew 15 is a very interesting passage. Jesus is talking about honor your parents, but he was talking in the context of Pharisees or the people who are saying that, you know what, instead of supporting your parents, if you support the synagogue or the temple, then that's okay. That's considered religious. And Jesus said, no, you got it wrong. You're not honoring your parents. Here is talking about financial support to the parents. Now, that may not be culturally relevant to our day, but still the principle applies that you are to offer yourself, your resources, in support of your parents to show respect and honor whenever appropriate. And then let me move on. So children, obey your parents and honor your father and mother. Now this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. It's again, it's righteousness that just brings everything right. Okay? And then the next part is now parents. Now, why fathers? Why not mothers? But maybe true that the fathers tend to anger your children. At least in my home, that's definitely true, unfortunately. But here, what it means is this. Men, fathers, father-to-be or wanna-be, it's your responsibility. Ultimately, in the family, buck stops with us. And that's why, especially this retreat coming up, you guys, we gotta go. We gotta be there. But we are not to anger our children, which I failed earlier this week. But here, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And this is really comprehensive. First of all, bring them up means to nourish and to nurture. So now the weight is on us, the parents. See, the weight on the children, whether young or old, is to obey, to submit, to honor. But now the weight for us, the parents, is this, to nourish and nurture. And bring them up in the discipline. This word discipline really means training and education and care of the body and the cultivation of mind and morals. Comprehensive. So what that means is, parents, it is your primary, you're the primary, primarily responsible for the spiritual education of your children. I'm grateful for the children's ministry, and they're doing a fantastic job, but without you, parents, it's not going to stick. And it's not just about do's and don'ts. It's about the whole future of your children. And the instruction, that means to counsel, to advise, to reprove, to caution, to inspire, to encourage. Wow. That's a whole work there. And that's what you are called to do, we are called to do in the Lord. Yes, the responsibility is heavy. And that's why, this is why we ourselves need to be walking. We ourselves need to be deepening. We cannot count on our experience of yesterday. We gotta have a fresh experience today. In life with the Lord. And we ourselves need to be growing. So to summarize, children, your action is to listen and obey. You got to have an attitude of respect and honor. Fathers, you're in charge, but parents, your part is to train and develop children in their totality and to counsel, to advise, to reprove, caution, inspire, and encourage. And probably this never ends. Your children could be 30, 40, 50, 60. But you still can speak into their lives. Maybe differently, but nonetheless, you have part in their life. But so then when you look at it this way, why? Objective is to prepare children to walk like Jesus in this world. That's where, as I showed you, the bigger picture comes in, right? It's not just my perspective, your perspective, you're growing, I'm young, I'm old. No. Parents and children are put together in the family by the Lord because family structure is a training ground to raise up men and women who bring the kingdom into this world. They're the ones who have been given a new identity and growing up to be the citizens of the kingdom. And so, in closing, I want to ask you a question. Listening to this, where did your mind go? Did you think of yourself as a parent and thinking, oh, yeah, I want to change here. No, I want to growing there? Or were you looking at yourself more as a child, thinking about your parents? Or, well, I don't know, I'm not a parent, and I don't necessarily feel like I'm thinking as a child. Then my challenge to you is, you are a child of God. How is your walk with the Lord? When you see this passage of children, obey your parents, you can translate it as a child, obey your father in heaven, and honor your heavenly father. And how are we doing there? Because our heavenly father is absolutely perfect when it comes to giving us instruction, training us. And I think in some respect, this season of our church as a whole, as we grapple with the expansion and the building and how we're to bring the kingdom into Duval and beyond, God is giving us counsel, his wisdom. And he's leading us, guiding us, growing us up. So how are we doing in our part of obeying, listening, obeying him, and honoring him with our life? That's bigger, isn't it? Because it's everyday life, how we honor our Lord. So let's think about that just for a few moments in closing. Maybe you're thinking about this passage as a parent, maybe as a child, and if not, definitely as a child of God. Let's pray. Jesus, would you let your word sink into our hearts? We invite your spirit right now to speak more into our hearts. Maybe as a father, as a mother, as a parent, or as a child. What would you like to say? What am I doing? And certainly, Lord, as your child, this passage definitely applies to us, each of us. How am I doing in obeying you, to listen to you, to be quick to follow? How am I doing in honoring you, truly honoring you, with everything, in every area of our life? And Father, thank you that in all this, that you are guiding us, counseling us, encouraging us, inspiring us, educating us, training us, that our transformation may continue and to be the men and the woman that you created us to be the light and salt in our world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.